Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. President Trump's latest comments in a New York Times interview have raised questions once again about whether he's contemplating trying to fire Robert Mueller, the special counsel tasked with investigating possible criminal activity related to Russia's interference in the 2016 campaign. Now, the Washington Post reports the president is already inquiring about his power to pardon his family members, even himself. For now, though, the investigation into Russian interference in 2016 goes on, and part of it has cast new scrutiny on the integrity of the American electoral system. This spring, the South Carolina State Election Commission released a report describing nearly 150,000 attempts to penetrate that state's voter registration system on Election Day. State officials say those numbers are overinflated. They say the system firewall was doing its job when it blocked internet traffic. None of those attempts to break in were successful, but the report sounds an alarm on the vulnerability of all state voting systems nationwide, even in places like South Carolina, which wasn't particularly hotly contested in the presidential race. Duncan Buell is professor in the Department of Computer Science and Engineering at the University of South Carolina.
Software is very hard, and verifying that computer security is done right, it's not something you can just set up passively and assume that, things are working. Our system in South Carolina is more than 500,000 lines of code. That's a lot of code to try to make sure that you got absolutely right every time.
What's the greatest risk here, Professor, or maybe the two or three greatest risks? People get focused on the idea of changing vote tallies. You know, the real result was Johnson won, but hackers changed it to say, no, Smith won. That's an obvious risk. What are some others?
One of the major things that has not, I think, received enough press, although people are talking about it more, is the problem of corrupting the voter registration database, which then disrupts the election. If you go in and target a few specific locations and change 25 or 30,000 addresses at exactly the right time so that that gets propagated to the precinct-level poll books, then you have a lot of people showing up to vote at their precinct and being told they're not registered or not registered there. And that kind of disruption could cause very long lines. It could discourage people from voting, and it could suppress the vote if you chose to do it in some targeted areas where you knew that the vote was likely to swing one way or the other strongly.
Is that very obvious risk, changing vote tallies, changing outcomes? Is that something that people in your position consider a likely type of attack, or are you worried about the more insidious type that you mentioned with voter registration rolls?
I think that the two biggest issues are the voter registration rolls, which would cause a disruption, and the tallying software, which would cause a corruption of the election results. It is always said by the election officials that the vote tallying stuff is not connected to the internet, but there are a lot of us who wonder whether there might not be indirect paths from the internet by way of flash memory cards or other kinds of things that are used to program the machines. So when those of us in the integrity community talk about not being connected to the internet, we mean really not connected, not plugged in with flash drives, not plugged into a wire, not plugged into Wi-Fi, literally disconnected.
So Duncan Buell, this attack of 150,000 bots, was it probing? Was it looking for vulnerabilities? How do you interpret what was going on there?
I don't think we really know at all what those things were. The thing that's curious is that suddenly it drops off in April to a third of that. So presumably, if we're down to a third of what it was on Election Day, a lot of those on Election Day were actually looking for some malicious activity to happen.
Professor Buell, there was some testimony in front of the Senate several weeks ago where a computer scientist was hired to assess the safety of the voting system in the District of Columbia. And he and his team were able to penetrate that system, change vote tallies, and he said nobody knew about it for days later.
We've studied touchscreen and optical scan systems, and in every single case, we've found ways for attackers to sabotage machines and to steal votes.
Does that surprise you?
Not at all. No, that was Alex Halderman, whom I know, and I think every system he's gone after, he has successfully attacked.
As you know, the former Secretary of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, made a move at one point to declare state voting systems critical national infrastructure. Now, that comes along with lots of implications about having to answer to the federal government. But do you think that such a designation would be a good idea and would help states get on the same page about security?
Viewing the election systems as critical infrastructure, or as, you know, a critical infrastructure in a layman's term without all the legal baggage, that to me is a no-brainer. Yes, it's critical, and it's critical for people in South Carolina to know what's going on in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, because that has an impact on us as well. So there needs to be some sort of organized, updated information sharing about what people are doing, why they're doing it, why systems are breaking, why systems are working. And I think a lot of that is not necessarily going on right now.
But you watched the 2016 election, Duncan Buell. You've seen the reports on attempted attacks in your state. You've heard the reports from your colleagues about what they've been able to accomplish with simulated attacks on other systems. What's your nightmare scenario when it comes to hacking in a U.S. election?
If I were to think of the nightmare scenario that is most likely to be possible, would be to have an election like a quadrennial election in 2020 where we could not actually determine what the outcome should have been. If there were a sufficient number of states where a sufficient number of votes were in question, then you really wouldn't know who won. And one of the characteristics of elections is that it's really hard to do a do-over, because disrupting is easier than corrupting. What worries me is the idea that you could cause enough of a fuss, like 2000 in Florida, where you really actually had no way of knowing what the proper outcome was. And I think that's a real possibility.
Duncan Buell, professor in the Department of Computer Science and Engineering at the University of South Carolina. Professor, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.